Isn't this a sports show?
Papa, tell me about the radio days.
Oh, well, there were many, many struggles and many difficulties.
Almost entirely.
I remember hearing this one radio show where they did nothing but visual gags on an audio medium. The host did a whole segment with his nose taped to his forehead.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
Papa, whatever happened to him?
Son, I don't think you're ready for that story. All I can tell you is don't do cocaine.
Too late, Papa. I learned it from watching you.
Take the show with you by listening on the Sports Radio 810 mobile app at 810WHB.com or by searching for Almost Entirely Sports wherever you get your podcasts.
You did this to me, Papa. I just wanted to be like you, Papa.
This is Almost Entirely Sports on Sports Radio 810WHB.
I promise that no significant portion of tonight's show is going to be deeply involved in local college basketball. Partially because I don't think that's the most interesting thing going on right now, and also partially because I like to think that listeners of Almost Entirely Sports have grown to expect a few things.
Like the fact that I'm sorry to interrupt you, but this is too important.
If it's another effing Nuggets thing.
It's a recent tweet that came out. It's a hoodie that is currently available, and it's an Animal Crossing hoodie. It's 35% off.
If there's anything...
You said it's 35% off?
Yeah, 35% off.
Why don't you DM me the link to that?
I gotcha.
If there's anything that you've grown to expect of this show at this point, it's that Rudy will interrupt me within the first 30 seconds. The Nuggets and Celtics are playing tonight, and that's been the whole day for both of these guys. It's an Urban Outfitters.
It's pretty good.
It's probably not super expensive. Yeah, no,
it's $40.
Drop me the link. Why don't you shoot me the link, and we'll see if that shows up in a future edition of Almost Entirely Sports. You can watch the Sports Radio 810 Facebook, Twitch, or YouTube channels. But there are a few things that are going to be absolute, you know, cold hard locks. Beard is going to make something about the NBA that didn't need to be about the NBA. Rudy is going to give me an Animal Crossing tweet within the first 45 to 50 seconds of the show. Very tight window, but he's going to be there for it. Mm-hmm. There's going to be a conversation about the Nuggets, Celtics, or Suns. It's going to be a lot of Kansas City Chiefs talk, and there will be an incredible number of times where we all interrupt one another. That's just what this show brings to the table.
Yes.
I'd noticed that you didn't say yes until I finished my sentence there, though, yeah. Which they're learning.
Progress.
This is like that scene in Jurassic Park.
I mean, to be fair, I was setting up everything on Maestro, White Orbit.
Honestly, even just you being distracted for too long that you can't interrupt me is a win for me. But I promise you a large portion of this show is not going to be about college basketball at the moment. But Mizzou just blew it after blowing it after blowing it against Georgia tonight. We're not going to get deep into that. We may bring that up with Sterling in an hour. But the one thing that does just sort of make me laugh, as a more or less disinterested party, the idea that KU has had this atrocious season and that Mizzou has had this excellent season
makes me sick.
But the fact that KU is going to go farther in the tournament, may end of the year ranked higher than Mizzou, all of that, nothing in college basketball should have been more predictable. KU's basically mathematically eliminated from the Big 12 at this point. I don't think that's technically true yet, but it's very close to being true. KU has had this disappointing season, and Mizzou has just been an absolute vision, just falling from the sky. Look at Mizzou basketball making their comeback and all, blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. Which is all fair. Mizzou's outperforming what we've always, you know, expected of them. KU is underperforming what we've always expected of them, but it is such a good exercise in context and how our expectations change depending on who it is that we're putting those expectations up against. I just find it kind of funny. If I got to choose every year, the Final Four would be KU, K-State, Mizzou, and Wichita State. I'm honestly not sorry, UMKC. If you make a run, good on you. But I would love that every year. I'm here generally rooting for the local schools to be interesting enough to talk about whenever we finally get bored of talking about who the Chiefs should look at in the ninth round of the draft that doesn't exist.
I'll never be bored of that.
I also may never be bored of that. Talking about undrafted free agents and seeing how they can find the next Tershawn Wharton. I'm rooting for them all to be good enough and active as late as possible to stay interesting. But I can't help but find that particular juxtaposition to be at least a little bit funny. And look, KU and Mizzou are both more exciting and better right now than Duke and Kentucky.
That hurts.
I'm sorry.
Hey, we beat Auburn. 6 wins, more than the football team now. Back to being a basketball school
certified. I hope that they both have excellent remainders of their years and make some noise in the tournament. I really hope that they end up in the same quadrant because I would love to see a little meaningful KU-Mizzou March Madness matchup. Would be a blast. I imagine they're probably both too good for that to happen, which is kind of a bummer now that I think about it that way.
The thing they have going for them is typically the way the not seeding, but the region essentially goes is it is largely based off conference play. Like I think they don't want you playing other teams in your conference until the Elite Eight, or it might just be the Sweet 16. So they try to keep the conferences apart. Nice part is because of that, Kansas and Missouri aren't in the same conference anymore. If people have forgot, so I have not followed like bracketology this year by any means. Like I probably typically do because nothing brings me more joy. Because honestly, one of the things I think I like more than sports is like fiction sports, which is like drafts and you know projections and stuff that is not the actual game itself. But just the possibilities, and then once it actually comes here, I almost get bored of it. I'm like, yeah, I've already played this game out of my mind 1,000 times. This is boring. But yeah, I would say there's the NCAA likes to make interesting matchups, and I think setting something up to where that could be a potential Sweet 16 matchup, depending on how the rest of the year goes, obviously, because like if they're 4-5, that won't work out, but. Missouri kind of keeps trending down, and Kansas kind of keeps trending up.
That's true.
You know, they could be in a situation where there's that possible Sweet 16 matchup.
I would be thrilled for that. That's what I'm rooting for. Yeah. Whatever happens from that in that game, whatever, that's fine. But I would love to see that matchup come through. That would be a blast. Anyway, that Mizzou Georgia game just wrapped up right before the show started, so it was top of mind. It will not remain top of the entire show. I just find that juxtaposition to be really, really interesting. And again, it's a nice, and this can be translated to pretty much any sports conversation. Being reminded of what success and failure look like for different teams depends more on the teams than the actual action that they're taking. If the Royals are 500 this year, it will be an achievement. You know, everyone would be very, very happy with a 500 Royals season that makes them, you know, sets them up well for next year. But if you're an actual contender, 500 is a nightmare. That's just part of sports, though.
I just pulled up the bracket, just and part of this was like more the seeding thing. So like currently, as it stands, like Kansas, Missouri aren't in the same region. But in theory, if they finish 4-5 or 3-6, they could be in position for a second round matchup. And I would say a 4-5 or a 3-6
feels doable.
It feels possible.
It feels doable.
Right now, Missouri's a 5, Kansas is a 6. I expect Missouri to obviously drop. And if Kansas beats Kansas State tomorrow, I expect Kansas to move up a little.
Where's Kentucky?
Let's see.
What's Kentucky? What's Kentucky? I'm having
a hard time
right
finding
now.
Them. Control F.
Yeah, Control F. Maybe they're under Kentucky. UK. Search for UK. Does it just say Calipari?
Where's the CIT bracket at?
The CIT. Oof. Are we getting a CIT this year?
No, they canceled.
Okay, seems most likely. Probably. Is the NIT trying to make games happen this year?
I don't know.
I should probably know that, but I don't really care.
I would think not.
You would also think that the NBA wasn't going to try to do an All-Star game, but you know, we get surprises still.
That's a good point. I pulled up because it was just on that page. I finally found him. Not in the bracket, but in the BPI. We're 70th.
Ooh, which, you know what? A bubble team.
You know who we're ahead of though? one spot ahead of Auburn, who we beat. We're 6-13, and we're sprinkled in between number 71 Auburn, who's 11-11, and number 69 Mississippi State, who's also 11-11.
Interesting.
That's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Worthwhile.
They're bad at basketball. It's... Mike DeCourcy this morning was like, yeah, they keep finding new ways to lose, and I'm just waiting for the next game in which they've won the game, but because a player like dumped a bucket of ice on Calipari just a little bit too soon, they actually get a technical and they lose the game that way. I'm like, oh, God, something like that's going to happen now where Kentucky's won a game, but a technical after the game allows the other team to shoot free throws, and that's how they lose.
I think that's going to do it for our college basketball coverage on this show until the bracket.
How about those Knicks? The Kentucky Knicks.
I'm not following you. Yeah. I'm not following there's you. There's just a lot. You can't get me. Yeah. You can't make me talk about the Knicks.
I just happened to click on Kentucky, and there was like a quickly thing which made it pop in my head. There's just a lot of Kentucky players there. Which might explain why they're just meh, okay. Because it's not the good ones. I mean, there are some good players, but it's not Anthony Davis. Karl Anthony Towns.
Mizzou is bad at the end of the game. I don't know how Mizzou
did this.
I told you we may bring it up again in 45 minutes. Sterling Holmes of ESPN Kansas City is Darren. Sterling will join us. He's Sterling in that. I don't know if that was obvious or not. We'll talk to him in 45 minutes, mostly about Chiefs stuff, but make it as I texted him, may ask him. I said, we may ask you about your Andrew Chicken Tendies takes, see if you got anything there, because Sterling loves baseball, like an unreasonable. Mm-hmm. Sterling is a baseball guy.
Chicken Tendies, I would say, Andrew Chicken Tendies.
I was very confused for a second. Remembered what it was.
It's a good nickname. Andrew Chicken Tendies is just
really
solid.
Doing the whole thing, not just saying, you know, chicken tendy, like, or something. But, you know, doing the Andrew
full
Chicken
name.
Tendy.
Yeah, I may never call him anything else. Do you think we could, can we try to get, I don't know if either of you have the right people to get a hold of this, and maybe I do, I don't know. Can we even get him on the show just so I can pitch the idea for his Players Weekend jersey that it just says Chicken Tendies?
You want to call Jeff Van Gundy?
No, I don't think that's going to help. I don't.
Could.
You don't know.
I don't think he's going to have the connection that we need.
You do not know until you try.
Yeah, Beards, why don't you text Jeff Van Gundy with no context, hey, can you get us Andrew Benintendi?
No, Andrew Chicken Tendies.
Chicken Tendies, sorry.
Yeah.
That's what I was going to say.
Little notification will pop up. You are now blocked.
Yeah,
Jeff Van Gundy.
I think it might just be a response from Jeff Van Gundy that says you are blocked, and it's very clearly not actually like an auto response. It's just him texting you that. Anyway, the main thing that I want to talk about tonight, we'll also have Seth Kaiser of the Chief of the North newsletter and The Athletic joining us at 10 o'clock tonight. And we'll talk, obviously, all Chief stuff with him. Also, we may see if we can get... He was tweeting out some kind of cold weather tips for Kansas Cityans, because if you don't know all this about Seth...
What does he know about cold weather?
He lives in Minnesota, where it's just... I mean, it is a frozen hellscape.
He's never had to deal with this.
Pretty much 24-7. So he may be able to help us out a little bit in that regard, although it was a balmy, like...
Yeah, this is different.
10 degrees whenever I walked outside today. I almost just took off my gloves.
Snow was melting.
Yeah, the streets have mostly melted back down. I've got, and I went light hoodie and denim jacket today. Didn't need the beanie. Didn't really need the face covering thing, you know?
It's supposed to snow overnight.
No biggie. It's fine. You know, we're just, as long as it stays over -0, which is for some reason what everyone's weather app said.
Yeah, I think you're good there. I'm looking. We're going to get down to 3.
That's fine.
But it's going to stay above 3.
I'm good with that. 3 degrees.
By
no
tomorrow afternoon, it's going to be a nice 19 degrees.
I've got a bunch of Chiefs things that I want to bring up, but here's what I'll say, because since this segment has already been an absolute, just a lost cause. So you guys lost power here this morning.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
And that seems like that probably went well. It may have been my very first day as an intern. It was also your.
Yeah,
it was our first day.
First or second day. It was the first week. I remember that.
Whenever Rudy and I were interning here at 810, one of our very first days, we had a power outage that really gave us an excellent look at just like what Sports Radio 810 looked like from the inside, you know? Because, all right, when something goes wrong, when there is a catastrophe, how does everybody act? and how does everyone react to the situation? And there were some absolute gems that came out of that day that I remember to this day. The main two things were Jason Justice, Drake, throwing an extension cord over the balcony.
Yes.
To try to get power from the generator inside the cruiser. I think it worked. I think he got us back on air that way.
We were back on air.
That was remarkable.
I remember the whole station wasn't back powered up because I remember we had to go into the FM room and do it from, and Petro finished his show from the FM room. We couldn't get the commercial system set back up, but it was enough power to get us set back, to essentially get like the tie lines and the ISDNs back up to where we could get back over the air.
So I remember that, and that just being sort of like, you know, that my first observed instance of the Drake getting us back on air with a toothpick, one paper clip, and like 4 inches of packing tape. Yes. And it was all of a sudden just like, and an extension cord. It's like, all right, we're good again. The other thing I remember was Seren yelling at everybody to go start taking poops in the break room, because it was right in the news cycle where one of those cruise ships had been stranded, yes. And so they're eating onion sandwiches and all just pooping in bags. Yes. That was I remember Seren in no uncertain terms yelling down the hall, everybody go take a bleep in the break room.
I forgot about that part.
The crazy thing is that, like, it was a bad way for me to start my internship because I was like, well, I got to do what Seren says. I'm not going to tell Seren no. And then all of a sudden, and I'm the guy, I'm the intern that pooped in the break room. And then right now I get villainized for it. I mean, I think some people here still hold that against me, which I just think is really unfair of them. I didn't know. I just, generally speaking, doing what Seren says is a good way to, like, you know, just keep working here.
It's never let me down.
And it the only time it let me down was the first time. And I just really I learned a lot that day. But that happened again this morning here, which I know gave you a good experience.
Not Josh pooping in the break room. He did not do that this morning.
No, I did that this afternoon.
Yes.
It's tradition at this point.
Yes.
Power
was back, but, you know, he had to.
But, I mean, 810 loses power. I poop in the break room. It's just
how it goes.
I mean, I don't want to break tradition at that point.
You're jinxing things. It's been a long time since we lost power.
Yeah, it clearly works. I'm like, you know how like in It, Pennywise comes out every, what, like 27 years or something, 21 years? Mm-hmm. I just need to make sure that I do my grim work in the break room every 5. And it keeps the evil clowns and power outages away. Honestly, I took responsibility for the power outages happening today because I missed my window. I should have. I needed to do it on Thursday. And now look at what happened. Anyway, what are you writing down, Beards?
Poops in the break room.
He has a journal. Beards keeps a journal. It's just how he remembers what happens during the day. I get it.
I think
hide
of
your
this
secrets from your computer. Totally understandable.
Makes total sense. I think between the three of us, Rudy is the most likely to be a journaler and Beards is the least likely. Is that true? You guys, either of you have any? I'm guessing that none of us actually do. It seems like something you do whenever you have free time.
Yeah, I've never been somebody who like kept a journal, like wrote in it, but I also do think like out of the three of us, I would be most likely. There's almost no chance that I would do it, but I still think it's like it's a higher chance.
Yeah.
Than I mean certainly higher than Beards.
Yeah, that's fair.
And probably higher than you.
Yeah, I did for like a semester of college because there was a class that like had us doing it.
You were required. Yeah, I'm sure at some point. I don't remember specifically, but I'm sure I did for class as well.
I ended up thinking like, oh, this is actually a good. This is a good way of just, you know, processing through things and writing stuff down. It kind of it kicks it into gear. You know, just
figuring
out what's going on.
I don't process things.
Well, right. Well, eventually,
and that's my issue.
You know, after that semester, I decided, well, I was too in touch with my emotions. I got to get out of here. I'm never doing that again. Beards is just too busy playing Red Dead.
He has no worries in life. If any, like here's the deal. It's not that Beards can't process his emotions. He doesn't need to. Like, Beards knows who he is. He's good. He's in a good place.
Here's the other element of that. I think Beards' journal just says, you know, February 16th, 2021. Dear Diary. Today I played Cyberpunk, ate fried chicken, and went to work. It was ... fine. Dear Diary. February 17th, 2021. Today I played Red Dead Redemption 2, ate a ham and cheese sandwich, and went to work. It was ... fine.
The only adjustment I would, a slight adjustment, is he definitely has, like, if it was Slim's, right, or Cane's, because that's how he remembers.
Because
he's not trying to, like, like necessarily go to Cane's like five times in a row, right? He wants to, like, make sure he gets Slim's in there. You gotta hit up all the spots.
Yeah.
So that's how you remember these things. Same with games. He's not trying to spend a whole week, you know, trying to play a game that just won't play. You know, he wants to mix it up a little bit and play a game that does play.
Going back and playing The Witcher 3 is like listening to a band's older stuff whenever their most recent album was a huge disappointment.
Yes.
Whenever their current album...
I can't believe we never thought of that.
Whenever their current album wouldn't play on your phone because it just didn't work.
I can't believe we never thought of that. Because, like, we've talked about, like, whether it's going back and listening to old episodes of The Adventure Zone or whatever.
Sure.
Like, that is Beards, just, but it's Red Dead, you know, or it's The Witcher 3. I can't believe we've never thought of that.
It's specifically, like, today I found myself listening to some old Post Malone. Wasn't a huge fan of the most recent thing. Now, his most recent album did actually come out on time and play on my phone whenever I asked it to, which makes it unlike Cyberpunk. But I preferred his earlier work, you know?
I've actually been playing a lot of the original Mass Effect lately.
That makes sense.
They announced that they're doing...
The Legendary Edition.
They dropped the trailer for the remaster that's for the new consoles, and so that's made me want to play it again. Yeah. So I've been doing that.
That checks out, man.
How is it?
It's good. It's old. You can tell. Still good, though.
Can you just say the line?
No, it's better than fine.
Hmm.
It's good.
Just say it, Beards.
You can put a different inflection on it if you want.
It's fine. It's good.
There you go.
Yeah.
Let's do that.
Yeah.
That's not that hard. How do you guys feel this segment went?
It's fine.
We'll take a break. Whenever we come back, I got Chiefs free agent hot takes. That's the segue, and that's next.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
This show's free. It's a free show. If you don't like
shows sometimes.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Beards has been going back through the archives and finding some old snippets of Almost Entirely Past, and I like that one a lot. That one's good. That one, Beards, put that one in a folder that could be involved in a promo at some point. It's not long enough for a full 30, but I like the idea of us promoting this show with It's Free, and It Shows Sometimes. I've also now gone down what can only be described not as a rabbit hole, but as a slippery slope. Because Rudy sent me this hoodie that Urban Outfitters has that's Animal Crossing, and there are some absolute bangers in terms of the Animal Crossing clothing items on Urban Outfitters.
Yeah.
There's one with a series of villagers and characters as periodic table elements. There is a long sleeve tie-dye shirt with characters on the sleeves.
Yeah, I saw that one. I was like, ooh, I really like that one.
If you decide you want to go in on this, you want to like combine shipping and save $6, you let me know.
I will. I was pleasantly surprised at the amount of Animal Crossing stuff Urban Outfitters had.
It's all good.
Yeah.
Like it's just most of it is really excellent. And I didn't know that this was a thing because it seems like most like Animal Crossing merch and stuff is like Japan originating.
Mm-hmm.
So getting any of it is just a huge pain.
But I can just buy it and have it just show up in my house.
You know what I need to find? I'm sure if I just do a Google search, I can find. If I could find an Animal Crossing short or a long sleeved hoodie, like a tee. Like a long sleeve tee hoodie.
Here's the thing: the one that you sent me, it's not quite long sleeve t shirt, but it doesn't look too puffy. You know,
for sure.
So, this is pretty exciting. I just don't really need more hoodies. I've got a lot of hoodies.
I'll be honest.
I just found an Animal Crossing crew neck sweatshirt that's just got Tom Nook and Timmy and Tommy.
And Tommy, yeah.
Next to him. Oof, it's good. It's
the little gray one.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good.
It's strong.
Yeah, these are all excellent. I like especially
the KK slider long sleeve tee too.
Oh, where's that?
That's got like a Japanese writing above him.
I like the idea. I like the KK slider merch that looks like band merch.
Yeah.
Like a KK slider world tour kind of thing. Big fan. These are all very good. I'm going to stop shopping during the show, but I will be leaving that tab open in the top left corner.
Keep it up. That's the content that people want.
I think I've done that before. I think that's probably somewhere in the archives also.
Here's what
I know we've ordered a pizza on air before.
That's it. That's what I was thinking.
That was a great show.
That was an ESPN yes. Kansas City show.
Here's what I need, though. So some of these shirts have obviously the characters on them.
Yeah.
I want to be able to decide which characters are on them. Because if I could get a shirt with all 10 of my villagers on it.
There's got to be an Etsy store for that.
For sure.
There's got to be an unlicensed Etsy store for that. Because, I don't really need the little this little cat. This little cat's not on my island. I don't know this little cat. I can't remember his name. But if that had, one of the Penguin Villagers, ball game.
Mm-hmm.
Game over, World Series over. This is a very specific sports thing. I said ball game over, World Series over, and then I heard in my ears through the world's tiniest, crappiest speaker, Yankees win, the Yankees win. Did you guys ever have any of the, they were basically like a thick baseball card, but if you pushed a button on it, it would play audio out of it?
No.
I don't think so.
I wonder how niche this is. I think there was a name for them, a specific branding.
Yeah.
But they played radio calls, and I had one of the Yankees World Series championships, where it was the radio guy for the Yankees, longtime Yankees radio broadcaster. I really wasn't even asking you, Beards. I felt like
yeah, that's fair.
I mean, I right then I was yelling I'm drowning. Hey, Beards, the rock salesman. Do you have anything you can throw to me to help me out here?
Not for sure.
I got some shale here.
John Sterling.
Nailed it.
Thank you. But they...
Was it John Sterling?
It sure was.
By the way, this is everything.
Rudy found the KK Slider hoodie he needed.
Yeah, it's very good.
Boy, if anyone...
$60, though.
If anyone listening to the sound of my voice now or in podcast form later has any memory of the baseball cards that played sounds, it came with a little cardboard, stand-up. I had one. I remember it's Mariano Rivera, punching the air or whatever, and it's that radio call. I remember that... I played it so many times over a number of years that at the end it was John Sterling going
the 22 to whoever strike three.
It was unlistenable, much like this show. But boy, I really would love to remember what those were called, and to find out if anyone else had those. Because those could have, here's the thing, they could have been a big thing that you guys just didn't ever get or find out about.
Also,
they could have literally just been sold at an Albertsons.
My guess is I probably had one, and I just don't really remember it.
I had two, I think, but I can't remember what the other one was. I remember...
It feels like something I would have, because but I'm just not for sure.
Man, if... My mom just messaged me and just said, Yankees win, Yankees win. That's the call. That's John Sterling's big Yankees win a game call. Man, I wonder if anyone else knows what the bleep I'm talking about. Anyway.
Let's see. Baseball cards that talk.
Beard, did you just mark that just so you can have a clip of me saying, I hope somebody knows what I'm talking about?
Yep.
Okay, very good. That's right. We don't have to solve this mystery right now.
I'm going
to
solve it.
But if anyone else over the course of the next couple of days has any idea what I'm talking about, please tweet me. P- Please tweet me because I would love to know.
Oh boy, am I gonna solve it?
The only one that knows what this is.
So there are these things called Baseball Talk. They're Topps Baseball Talk collections.
They were like a thicker cardboard because there's a whole button and a speaker in there.
I'm pulling it up to see because this is definitely a thicker card. I just don't know if it has a speaker on it.
I also can tell you this confidently. If I saw it, I would be able to identify it in a heartbeat.
Oh, yeah. So these were cards that you put into a sports talk player. And the sports talk player.
These were self-contained. I don't think I ever took the Yankees one out of the package, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah, this was a 1989 thing, too. So it was.
This one was aggressively late 90s, early 2000s. Like, I can sort of even envision the package design. Anyway, that's fine. We can let this go. I can circle back to this in a commercial break or whatever. But I am. And I there's a chance that I still have it. I'll look whenever I get home. I will rummage around the boxes of like old baseball figurines and stuff that I have and see if I can find that. But someone within the sound of my voice right now is screaming at their phone or radio or screen that they know exactly what I'm talking about, and everyone else wants me to talk about the Chiefs.
Well, your mom says she got it at Toys R Us.
Okay, good information. What were you going to say, Beards?
I was going to say, yeah, somebody probably is yelling and screaming at their radio, but not because they know what you're talking about.
Baseball talk cards, that's what you were just talking about, right?
Yeah, like from 1989. It was like it was a card that you put into a machine, and it did the talking.
What if we take a break again? And then we
come
back.
Third time's the charm.
Third time is the charm. We're going to do a lot of Chiefs with Seth in an hour and change. We'll have Sterling Holmes here in about 20 minutes. I am going to be haunted by this for the rest of my days. We'll talk about the Chiefs' upcoming free agents and some other interesting storylines around them whenever we come back.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
We got us. It's all we need. We need so much more. Help. Help.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
I went to Twitter to ask for help finding this card thing and seeing if anyone else knows what the bleep I'm talking about. My mom has found it on eBay in one commercial break. She found it, and it's $10.
Your mom could always find what's lost.
And also anything on eBay. They were called Major League Baseball Talking Star Cards. Interactive collectible with stand-up, with voice chip technology. She found the exact one that I was talking about, which is pretty impressive. There's also a Derek Jeter one that I definitely also had. I can see if you look at the back of the package, it was that one and this Mariano Rivera one. I vaguely remember the Derek Jeter one, including the phrase, "Oh, what a play by Jeter." That's just somewhere baked into my head. This is from 2000. I used to really care about baseball.
Yeah. I remember seeing your child bedroom.
Stuff. And it was, I really wish that you would have just respected my wishes and left whenever I caught you.
Well,
we never fixed that window. My parents just sold the house.
That's what you have to do. I mean, if a window's broken, you don't fix it. It's like if you find a spider in your house, you're done. You leave.
It was
just
more
time
like
to start
once
over.
They realized that you knew where our house was, they moved to Florida.
Yeah, that's smart.
Because they were like, well, we can't risk this happening again.
Yeah, I mean, it's a smart move.
It's very strange. This is exciting. I'm going to tweet out the link in response to my previous tweet about it. If anybody wants to know what I was talking about, there will be a link there momentarily. Mystery solved. I do want to talk about a couple of Chiefs things before we get to Sterling here in about 15 minutes. We may have to save the Chiefs free agency conversation, which is fine.
What a shocker.
Because we're going to have six bleeping months, essentially, to talk about it. But what I will get to is this one particular NFL conversation that might not be relevant by the time we don't have a show tomorrow night because there's KU. By Thursday, maybe there will be some sort of a decision made here. Not likely, but possible. There was a tweet today that was a report that really wasn't a report that ended up kind of floating to the top of Twitter and then being popped by the guy who was sort of quoted. There was a quote-unquote report from the ESPN Carolina Panthers reporter saying the Panthers would be ready to give up 3 first-round picks and Christian McCaffrey for Deshaun Watson.
You can't trade the face of the franchise. You didn't tell me about this part of it.
That was it. It was 3 first-round picks. I
mean, you're just tanking at that point.
And Christian McCaffrey, the one running back who's different than all the other running backs, except for he played 2 games last year or something.
Is any other running back the face of the franchise? I don't think so.
Yeah, it's not of any good franchises.
Is he the face of the franchise? Yes.
Whenever Luke Kuechly retired, it was just they needed anybody. You know what other have? Deshaun Watson. And so that was
not a face of the franchise.
That was put out as a report from someone on Twitter who none of us should have retweeted because I didn't know who he was. That's on me. You know, egg on my face. Because then eventually the reporter was like, yeah, that was in a bold predictions column.
Yeah.
Not a report that was about to happen or anything. But it was essentially saying the Panthers would be the bold prediction was that the Panthers are going to aggressively pursue Deshaun Watson. I think he was saying that, you know, and I predict that they would be willing to give up 3 firsts in Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah.
Here's the part of this that it's important to me. If the Houston Texans trade DeAndre Hopkins for picks and David Johnson and then trade Deshaun Watson for picks and Christian McCaffrey,
it'd be so good.
They just need to be relegated to the AAF that doesn't exist and is not going to exist again.
To be fair, they would.
Salt Lake Stallions, RIP.
They would now finally have like a number one wide receiver.
They wouldn't. They wouldn't because Christian McCaffrey is not a wide receiver.
But could he also play quarterback?
No.
Are you sure?
No.
His brothers play quarterback, so I think he can play quarterback.
Can he throw the ball to himself?
He wasn't even on the field last year, guys.
Can he hand it off to him?
It's really hard to be a running back at the top of a game for years on end because your body breaks down. It's a hard position.
If you are both running back and quarterback, you never have to worry about that time spent handing the ball off to the guy. You could just go yourself.
There was a stat I remember. This was heading into this previous year. It was like, I think it was McCaffrey's like first 4 years in the NFL. He had more catches than DeAndre Hopkins had in his first 4 years in the NFL. Are we sure he's not a number one wide receiver?
Yes! Yes!
Sneaky athletic.
Yes, I'm sure! He's not sneaky anything. He's a fun player to watch whenever he's on the field. God bless him.
Very sneaky athletic.
They paid him and he immediately started breaking down, which isn't his fault. It's just playing running back in the NFL.
It's from his dad's a coach.
Takes a toll on you.
It's from coach's carrying the kid. Weight of the whole franchise on your back.
He's a coach's kid. His dad's the head coach at North Colorado.
I don't care!
His dad probably thought he was the number one wide receiver.
His dad was a wide receiver.
He might
have. There you go. He's got it in his genes.
He might be a number one wide receiver. Maybe.
Chris Hogan, who's now not even in the NFL anymore. He announced he's joining the lacrosse league.
Is that true?
Yes. He's leaving the NFL and all the money. He's turning down so many contract offers to
left and right
to go play lacrosse because it was his first love, you know?
No kidding.
Yeah. He entered the
I remember hearing about him Premier being league lacrosse guy
the Premier,
at one point.
I think it's just the Premier Lacrosse League, the PLL.
I think PLL sounds right.
And so he entered, I think it was yesterday, maybe. He entered their draft. It's going to be interesting because, being an NFL player, I only assume that he's been playing football, you know, throughout college and high school. So I don't know if he has a lot of lacrosse experience, honestly. That's a transition.
The Premier Lacrosse League draft?
That's a transition you don't normally see. So it'll be interesting to see if a football player with no lacrosse experience, you know, can transition to lacrosse.
Didn't think that's where I was going to end up in this Deshaun Watson conversation, but okay.
By the way, I assume Josh would go with the joke. I don't, because I know somebody's going to start tweeting, being like, dummy, he played lacrosse. Yeah, I know. He played lacrosse in college. That's the joke.
Oh, sorry.
You're fine.
Did you make a joke?
I was like, I kept saying.
Good joke, Rudy.
Yeah, thank you.
Is that what you wanted?
No, I just I was just playing along with a bit. It wasn't like a laughing joke necessarily, just you know, just a bit.
Okay. Yeah. It was a bit of a laugh.
What did you say that was supposed to be funny? Let's really dissect this.
I didn't say anything that was necessarily supposed to be funny. I was like, yeah, like you know, it's an interesting transition for a guy who played in the NFL. He obviously doesn't have a lot of lacrosse experience, considering he played football throughout college and high school. You know, we don't normally see guys go from sport to sport. I would, you know, it would just be interesting to see the transition.
You're right. You know what you were right about? Wasn't a joke.
And that's when you were going to go, like, you know, Rudy, actually.
Wasn't particularly funny. You nailed that.
Wasn't supposed to be necessarily.
Good job. Well, you did it.
Thank goodness.
Do you think Chris Hogan goes top three?
You did. Do you want my PLL draft breakdown?
I want your PLL draft predictions.
I think Brett Veach is going to trade up.
Ooh.
For somebody.
A running back?
Probably.
Here's what I'll say about the PLL.
A kicker.
He's going to take somebody over DK Metcalf and then a running
the
back.
The team names are really good.
Go ahead and give. We've done this before.
Yeah.
I think mentioning the old ESPN Kansas City days, I think going through. I think what I did at one point, I think I made Beards guess what was a real lacrosse, professional lacrosse team name.
I've done this. We did this.
We've definitely done this bit. Yes. That's okay. I'm still not going to remember if it's real or not, but go ahead.
There's the Archers. The Atlas, the Cannons, the Chaos, the Chrome.
The Cannons?
Yeah, the Cannons.
The Chrome?
The Chrome.
Slow down. Run this. Start from the top.
Archers.
Okay.
Atlas.
Not good.
Cannons.
Pretty good.
Chaos.
How's it spelled?
C-H-A-O-S.
Darn.
Chrome.
Chrome is crazy.
Redwoods.
Redwoods is not
it's okay.
Intimidating.
Whip Snakes.
The what?
The whip snakes.
That's
whip,
pretty good.
Whip snakes then, sounds like something that would on Family Feud whenever Steve Harvey says, yes. You know, what's one body part that you don't want to show up when you don't want it to be up?
And then my
and
favorite.
And then one of the contestants says, Steve, I'm gonna have to say the dong. And then Steve doubles over while everyone else is laughing, and he pretends like he's never heard anyone say dong before. And then he points at the board, and it flips over, and it says whip snake.
And then everybody goes, ah!
And then my favorite, the water dogs.
I don't know. I still like whip snakes.
I like what? Yeah,
which
I mean,
whip
snakes is great, but I like water dogs.
New poll question coming to at Jamie Briscoe on Twitter.
If you click on their team name, there's like a almost like a little catchphrase, like a bio. Every game is a revenge. This is the Water Dogs. Every game is a revenge game. Bored in the water.
Man, they
bred
suck.
To hunt. Ferociously loyal to the pack. Let's go to the Atlas.
Is Whip Snake one word or two words?
One. The Atlas, a power and authority built with size, strength, and speed. The hustle of triumph. Go the Whip Snakes.
The only team that matters.
Emotion and venom. Lightning fast and terrifying.
Yeah.
With high maneuverability and cod.
Let's go.
Strike without warning.
Run through the wall. I'm buying their jersey now.
Archers. Built on precision and craft. Regal and of age. Well, that's good. Meticulous.
Huh.
A sharp shot and bullseye assist. Above all else, win.
It's called the Professional Lacrosse League.
Yeah, PLL.
All right, so new.
Premier Lacrosse League.
Premier Lacrosse League. Well, now I got to edit.
Yeah, they're Premier.
The Premier Lacrosse League. Okay, the Cannons.
Is it E R E?
Theirs isn't as good.
Is it Premier with an E at the end?
No. Their Cannons is just forged by the past, built for the future. That's not.
Okay, so poll question at JB Briscoe on Twitter: boring. Which Premier Lacrosse League team name sounds more like a euphemism for a dog?
Chaos better be good.
Water Dog or Whip Snake?
What about
a
cannon?
Passion and sting with unseen intensity, a tremendous source of energy.
Who are these?
Do not trifle with. Chaos.
Eh.
Their mascot is a scorpion.
Ooh. Eh.
The Chrome of strength and flair with rigid alloy yet light and swift. Do not go gentle.
These are poems.
They're haikus.
I wanted to talk about Deshaun Watson. I thought I was going to
talk
about Deshaun
Watson. There's one
Watson.
Left. I have to finish it. Redwoods, and they go by Rollwoods, which is pretty good. It's just a big old grizzly bear. A grounding force, taking action and leadership, both feared and admired.
What are you guys going to vote for? Water Dog or Whip Snake, sounding more like a euphemism for a dong?
What?
I know. It's a good question.
I think Whip Snake.
That's where I'm leaning right now.
Also, the Redwoods head coach, his name is Nat St. Laurent.
Laurent for sure.
Nat St. Laurent.
Beards, which one are you voting for?
I'm going to go with Whipsnake.
I think the answer is Whipsnake, but Waterdog is pretty good. Mm-hmm. We're two votes in, it's 50-50.
They have a player whose name is Ryder Garnsey, and man, if that's a lacrosse name, if I've ever heard one.
We're going to spend more time on lacrosse than on the Chiefs offseason this
season.
Hey,
have
you not paid attention
guys,
to how the show
the
works?
The season is starting up. We all have to have a premier lacrosse league team.
Oh, I'll take
the Water Dogs.
I already picked the Whipsnakes.
Yeah, that's fine. You can have the Whipsnakes. I have the Water Dogs.
Hopefully this lasts longer than the last two leagues.
Hey, this might be a kiss of
this
death.
This is like season three. They're on NBC Sports, baby. Now NBC Sports Network is dying, so I don't know where they're going to be at. But, you know, hey, for now.
Wait, so how many teams have you read?
I think there's like nine of them.
Okay, I think there's only six in 2021.
Five, six, seven, eight. Oh, that's possible. I'm just on their website. They've got eight teams on the website.
Because on sportslogos.net for 2021 teams, they've got the Archers, Atlas, Chaos, Chrome, Redwoods, and Whipsnakes. Water Dogs are not on here. Someone else is also not on here.
I'm on their team, the Premier Lacrosse League website, their team shop, and they have seven.
Do these have, are they in places? Are any of these geographically relevant?
No, so what they do is base it, like they travel, right? So like 1 week they're in Atlanta, and it's all the teams are in Atlanta, right?
Okay.
Next week maybe they're in, wherever, Bristol, Connecticut, and you know the teams play there. They travel to cities, so they're not like geographic oriented.
Beards, you're a Whipsnake.
Yeah.
And Rudy, what
I'm
was
a Water Dog.
Okay, I'm afraid the Water Dog, that's an upsetting. I wish I didn't have to hear you say that.
Yeah, I'm a Water Dog.
That time you definitely said Wetter Dog.
I'm a Water Dog.
I'm not sure they exist. I think I'll go ahead
The Water Dogs exist.
I think I'm going to go ahead and declare myself a member of the Chrome Lacrosse Club. Also, their colors are relatively AES adjacent upon further viewing. Uh-huh. So I'm here for the Chrome, I suppose. Whenever we come back, we'll ask Sterling Holmes about Mizzou basketball, Andrew Chicken Tendies, the Chiefs' upcoming offseason, and which of those team names he's going with for the 2021 PPL season.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe on Sports Radio 810 WHB.